Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
I did a preemptive today.
You know what? I was just thinking about this. I was like, when was the last time that you, Ed, and I were in the same room? Was it episode 100? Like, did we do 200 together?
We did one of them together.
Yeah.
100 was crazy because we were in like a closet.
Yes.
At Lifeway.
The studio before the studio.
Yeah. But it was, yes.
Yeah.
It was.
It wouldn't work in COVID standards. We were not 6 feet apart from each other.
No, for sure.
We could probably feel each other breathing. That's how close we were. Yes. So, and man, it's like 564 and you are in Nashville. I am in Edmonton. Ed is in Chicago. And it's just neat to see how our podcast continues to grow. So thank you so much for listening in and tuning in week after week on likely some episodes more than others, but we do really just want to express our appreciation for you being a part of our podcast community in this way. Well, you know what? Today we wanted to tackle a little bit of a what can one learn from another sort of thing, both on today's and on episode 566. So today we're going to take it from the approach of what established churches can learn from church plants, because we know that many of you are established church pastors who are wanting to multiply. You have a heart for multiplication, you want to do that, and you're listening in because of that, or maybe because of the topic at hand or other topics that questions that were submitted and topics that you were interested in. We also know that we have a lot of church planters, mostly church planters and also multi-site church pastors who are listening in as well, because this is who the podcast is for. So what we wanted to do is, you know, every church plant is going to be an established church. Every multi-site church is an established church, pretty much. And for every church plant, I mean, you don't want to hold that label church plant forever, because a lot of times that label church plant goes along with it. What comes along with it is you're not sustainable yet. You're still growing. You're still trying to get out of those starting blocks. So because of that, what we wanted to really share is, or really tackle the question of, hey, what can established churches several years down the road, learn specifically about the church planting stage and new church plants?
Okay, so there's so much that established churches can learn from church plants. You know, some of them have already figured this out as they launch campuses, and there's enough church plant likeness that they begin to learn from, you know, they begin to learn from those campuses. But for me, one of the biggest things that they can learn is just flexibility, because in a church plant setting, in so many instances, the facility that you're renting, you may not have it every week, or there may be a couple of times a year where you get kicked out for a couple of weeks, or, you know, something catastrophic happens with the plumbing, or I don't know, something happens to that facility. And if you owned it, you could fix it and be back in. Or if you owned it, you could say, oh, you know, we're just going to go ahead and do this. But in a rented facility, they, you know, kind of dictate what's going on. And they'll be, well, for insurance purposes or for this or that, you know, you're not going to be able to meet this Sunday or the next two or three Sundays. So honestly, that's a big part, as well as not having the luxury of, you know, things like signage and thinking about, there's so many things that can happen that I just think part of being a church planter is flexibility.
And I think that's was really revealed this past year, right? I mean, I think the churches who were able to adapt and be nimble are the ones that leveraged what happened with COVID, and those who were stuck in the sense of, okay, it's going to take us weeks or months before we can make a change. They're the ones that I don't want to say left in the dust, because that kind of that has a bad connotation, and it kind of sounds like a lot of people just kind of go from one church to another, because church hopping never happens, right? but I mean, it's the importance of being nimble is huge. One thing that I would add on to that, Todd, for me is the notion that in church plants, there are no sacred cows. There are no programs that my grandfather was saved in, and that my father was baptized in, and that my, you know, it just keeps on going on. There are no sacred cows like that. And the lack of baggage like that, and I'm not saying that old programs don't work, but I'm saying if you're doing something and the reason you're doing it is just because it's always been done, and that's really why, or you have significant givers or members of the church who are just, you know, it's their thing. And if you were to cut it, then they would leave. Unfortunately, I mean, no one should ever threaten in that way. I don't think they're really a biblical church member if they do. But unfortunately, there's that fleshly side of church life, right? So I think when you think about church plants, there's the notion of the fact that there's no sacred cow. So when you, as an established church, I really do think what can you learn from church plants? It's, hey, how do you handle these things? What are ways that you can actually put in a just natural season and rhythm of everything so that everything is being assessed in an ongoing manner? It's not just, because if you don't have a regular rhythm of assessment and evaluation, then obviously sacred cows are going to feel like they're being focused on, and you know, all the fingers are being pointed to that. Whereas in reality, if you have a system of reevaluation, then you can actually have those difficult conversations a little bit easier.
I like it. I mean, you know, man, I just focus on flexibility and agility more than anything else. That is the best thing. And you're right, because they don't have the baggage, they probably can be a little bit more agile, but it's still the approach and attitude of a startup.
Yeah.
So, you know, and guys have to look at when they're coming into an established church, you know, they don't have the luxury of a startup mentality. They either have a sustaining success or a turnaround mentality, or growth mentality. And most will shift into a sustaining success if they have the luxury of having that. That's what they'll do. But at the end of the day, it's usually not really that easy.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I'm reminded of a couple episodes ago, we talked about organizational life cycles. And what's interesting is we often associate entrepreneurs, that sort of leadership gifting, with church plants. But what's interesting is, and unfortunately, you know, you kind of, there are these broad generalizations, right? Like church planting is exciting. Church planting is entrepreneurial. Church planting reaches the lost. And then you kind of think of established churches and you're like, oh, it's kind of old and stingy or, you know, musty and whatever generalizations that people might have toward church plants and established churches. What's really interesting is when you look at organizational life cycles, church plants that fail actually lack entrepreneurial leadership. And you know what? Established churches that grow old and stale and die out lack entrepreneurial leaders. So when you look at the organizational life cycle of a church, entrepreneurs are so important. That entrepreneurial, we're gonna try new things. We're gonna lean on the Lord and that faith, right? That childlike faith side of things that's gonna cause you to go and trust and have faith that moves mountains. That sort of leadership quality is so important within established churches that are growing, right? Not every established church is dying, by no means. Established churches that are growing have those entrepreneurial leaders. So I would say, how do you, if you're an established church listening in, how do you find leaders, right? How do you find leaders, promote leaders, place entrepreneurial leaders who are in your midst, whether they are staff or volunteer or elders or deacons? How do you place them around the leadership table where they can bring that perspective into your decision making?
I like that a lot because, you know, I think one of the things that a good leader does is he's going to recognize his strengths and weaknesses and build a team around him. And that goes both ways. For entrepreneurs, they are going to definitely need, you know, someone to help ground them and not have them go too far forward too fast. And likewise, you know, some of those people that may not be naturally gifted entrepreneurs, if they surround themselves with some key leaders that, you know, have that personality mix and that bent, then that person is naturally, you know, going to propel them forward. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting to me is, there was a time on our staff where, in our church, where when we were going out to do new venues, I was matching teams based on some of the stuff. And so I'd be like, hey, I need, what I really need is I need a campus pastor and I need at least one other person, but usually two other people. And one was more people oriented and entrepreneurial, and one was usually more administrative and task oriented. Just to make sure we had, you know, kind of a good blend of whoever was going out, that they at least had two people with them that, you know, were mm-hmm. fit in those ways.
Yeah, and I think established churches can sometimes envy church plants because you build your team from scratch, right? Especially if you're a pastor that's come into an established church and there was an established team in place. It's not like you can just get rid of everyone. I mean, that wouldn't be wise just to kind of clear the slate in that way. So I think sometimes established church pastors can envy, right, the fact that that's the case. But really, I want to challenge you to think differently. Obviously, as Todd was saying, there's relational leaders, there's, you know, there's systems-minded leaders, strategic sort of leaders, there's entrepreneurial, innovative side of leaders. And ideally, on your leadership team, you would have that gift mix represented. But you know what? If you don't, there are other ways, right? There are other ways that you can develop this. I first learned this from Kevin Peck, who is the lead pastor at Austin Stone, and obviously my church's structure is a little bit different than his, but he actually created a team that was more organizational in gifting, and then another team where the mix was more innovation-oriented individuals, and another team that was more, I guess, strategically oriented in that way. So for us at Beulah, I actually created these two work groups, one that's innovation and another one that's strategy. And all throughout our staff, regardless of whether you are supervising someone or being supervised or part-time or full-time or 10 hours or whatever that is, we actually invite members from our team into each of these work groups for a one-year period where we can leverage their strengths, sharpen their strengths so that they become even more strategic and even more innovative, and invite them into decision-making processes that otherwise, due to position, they probably wouldn't have been a part of, but we're trying to leverage that so that we can really, you know, leverage their gifting so that they can just be a blessing to the entire church.
Great, man. Well, okay. I'm ready. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to flip the script. Let's go.
Okay, so let's do that. On episode 566, we're going to flip the script and actually answer the question, what church plants can learn from established churches? So thanks again for listening in. And if you have a follow-up question on anything we've talked about, just feel free to send that in at speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. We'll catch you next time.